Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated, Sister Cherie, if you'd get ready to sing. Amen. All the praises should be given to my Jesus, 'cause he's the one who picked me up when I was down all the way. And all the praises should be given to my Jesus. Oh yes, for he's the one who makes me what I am today. Hallelujah. Sing it to the Lord with me. And all the praises should be given to my Jesus. He's the one who picked me up when I was down. Amen. He's worthy, isn't he? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Good to see a lot of our guests and friends. We're thankful to have you in this service. Amen. I'm glad to have my sister here today. Amen. She's a very, very special person in my life. Amen. And good to have my daughter home. We had our Bible school yesterday, and I'd been real busy. Didn't have time to get things together like I wanted, so I finished down here about 4:30 in the morning, and I was walking up the hill, and there was her car. Amen. And so, what a surprise. That was nice. I didn't have to worry about her driving. Amen. Getting here. So, she was here and didn't know I had to worry about it. Isn't that nice? Amen. So good to see you. Lord bless you. Cherie, come and worship the Lord with a song. Amen. And then we're going to get right to the word of the Lord. We had a great day yesterday. We had our first at Preacher's Academy and Brown Bag Bible School. And we just had a great time. And I don't know if anybody else enjoyed it as much as I did, but I had a good time. Amen. And I appreciate it. And we'll be doing that again in about a month. All right. Lord bless you. Let's worship God in a song.
Praise the Lord, everybody. If y'all don't mind, I just like to give a really quick testimony before I sing. I decided to surprise my family and come home this weekend after I told them several times, oh, I wish I would have known it was Memorial Day weekend. I would have come to see y'all, and then so they thought I wasn't coming, and then I surprised them and came anyway. And so on the way over, because I didn't tell anyone I was coming, I was trying to keep the surprise and shock them. And I didn't have anyone to talk to. Normally, I talk to people on the phone when I'm driving. I know that's not a good thing, but when you're driving 8 hours, you get really tired of being alone with your dog. And so I got this new CD, and I was listening to it, and I had this beautiful song came on, and I loved it. And because I didn't have anyone to talk to, I began to talk to God, because he's the best friend you can have. And I had this beautiful little time in my car of prayer and worship, because, you know, it's amazing what happens sometimes when we get ourselves out of the way, and when we don't, you know, there are times when we don't know what else to do, so we just pray. And it was a wonderful time, and this song really ministered to me. And I'd like to sing it for y'all this morning. But as I was praying, I began to remember, think of a testimony that some great things that have happened to me lately, and I just kind of felt like I should share that with y'all today because it has a lot to do with you guys. And I've been going for the past few months through a really, really hard time. I've had some really tough trials in my life lately. And spiritually, I've suffered a bit through it, and I felt very alone. And, you know, there are times in our lives when we know God's there. We know it, but we just feel still so alone. And I was really struggling, and you know, people tell you, just give it to God, just give it to God, and you do, but sometimes, I don't know if it's like there's a piece of us we hold back or what, but for some reason, it doesn't seem to get better right away. And sometimes I think God will let us walk through trials so we can realize how much we need to depend on him and how he can carry us through things. And the last service when I was here for Mother's Day was a beautiful thing, and I thank Sister Lottie and Sister Sharon. They did an amazing job. And the service Sunday night, I'm sure several of you guys remember, we had an awesome service that night. And I just felt like I really needed to pray and talk to God about some stuff. And I had been suffering and crying so many times and just struggling. And this huge weight and burden had been on me for so long. And finally that night, I just prayed, God, I want to be free. Please free me from this. I'm tired of this bondage. Please just set me free. And in that moment, there are several types of healing. You know, when we have sickness in our bodies, we pray for healing, but there are emotional needs that we can have that hurt so deeply, and we need healing from those too. And there are different types of healing too. Sometimes the one we love is when God lets it happen immediately, you know. In that moment, we feel we're healed, and it's just incredible, but there are times God chooses to do it slowly, and it's a process, and he heals little by little. And it happens physically, and it happens emotionally as well. And God didn't choose to heal me emotionally instantly that night, but he chose to go through a process. And I felt a little better that night because I'd gotten some stuff out. You know, when we pray and we cry, it makes us feel a little better anyway. But Monday, I was really sad. Tuesday, I began to feel a little better. By Wednesday, I felt like a lot had lifted. And then I think the beginning of this week, I just felt, God, I don't feel it anymore. I'm a little sad, but I'm not aching. That horrible weight is not crushing me anymore. And on the car on the way over, I really began to realize God healed me of this. And it sort of was a realization. And I believe when we have a healing, we need to testify about it, especially because I know there are people here who God gave you a burden for me in this past couple of weeks. And I just want to thank you for praying for me because you don't know how much I needed those prayers. I was struggling so much. And I just want to thank you for that because I would not have made it without your prayers. I would not have, I know. And I know in that service, Sister Hattie, I want to thank you because you knew exactly what I needed. There are times, you know, I know that we have a burden for someone and we want to pray with them, and we're sometimes afraid to because we don't know what to say. We're afraid we'll say the wrong things. But Sister Hattie, you didn't say a lot, but you knew I needed to be held and I needed to just cry with someone. And you knew how to minister to me. And I think others of you, thank you so much for praying with me. And I'm so grateful for this church because it's a haven. It's a place where I can come when I need help. And I know sometimes when we want to help people, we don't know exactly how God wants to use us and we're afraid. But I just want to encourage you, please step out. If God speaks to you about speaking to someone or being there for them, don't worry about inadequacies. Don't worry about past failures because God can use any of you. And you never know what that person's facing and how much they need you. There are times when people seem to be a tower of strength, but they need help so desperately. So please don't hesitate when God wants to use you. Don't feel that you're ever inadequate, because if God has anointed you and if he's given you a burden, then you are worthy of that burden. You are worthy to be used. And God can use anyone, because trust me, if he can use me, he can use anybody. That's what this song is. It's called Even Me.
I don't deserve the love you've shown, the blood you've shed covers my wrong. Beyond my faults, and said you'd still use even me. Oh Lord, I've tried to do my best, although sometimes I do much less. You called my name, but I ran away. But still you called me another day. Yes, even me, Lord, even me. Though scarred and broken and unworthy, my guilty stains, you washed them clean and said you'd still use even me. Sometimes I fall and I make mistakes, but those brand new mercies you show every day. You are my strength when I get weak, and out of the darkness, Lord, you lifted me. Yes, even me, Lord, even me. Though scarred and broken and unworthy, my guilty stains, oh Lord, you've seen and said you'd still use even me. Yes, even me, Lord, even me. Though scarred and broken and unworthy, my guilty stains, you washed them clean and said you'd still use even me. Lord, you could have used anybody else, but you still use me.
Someone wisely said that the most important ability is availability. Availability. God's not really dependent on your talent. He has his own, you know. God's not dependent on your strength, as strong as you may be. God's not dependent on your intelligence, as intelligent as you may be. God is not depending on your wisdom, as wise as you may be. God has his own that's far superior to all of ours. He's not depending on our abilities. Amen. He's just looking for availability. Somebody that will say, here am I, Lord, use me. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm reading one verse of Scripture today from the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, the first verse. I will be aware of the time. I'll watch it so you won't have to. Isn't that nice? Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Amen. I want to preach today about appointed and anointed. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. Amen. God loves fellowship. He can do anything he wants to do. He can be anything he wants to be, and he is. But even God is touched, perhaps, by some sense of loneliness, I suppose. I don't know why else God would have made humanity other than he wanted somebody that he could fellowship with. He had angels. The Bible said an innumerable company of angels. But angels were not enough. So God created us. And for some reason known only to God, he loves to fellowship with human beings. You talk about a step downward, but he loves to fellowship with people. When God hears people pray in sincerity and honesty and with faith, he's drawn to that. When God sees people praising and with a sincere and open, honest heart, he's drawn to that. And he makes his presence known there. As a matter of fact, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's just something about that that attracts the presence of God. And he makes himself known. You and I have had prayer meetings and all by ourselves. Cherie was doing it in her car late at night on the highway, and all of a sudden the presence of God just comes down and fills the automobile, and you feel his presence. My, what a privilege that is. Hallelujah. You can stand at the sink in your kitchen washing your dishes, and all of a sudden heaven comes down and kisses the earth, and you're right in the middle of the smack. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing when you fellowship with God. And he chooses to do that. If God did not choose to manifest himself to you, you could not find him. Though he's omnipresent, you could not find him. He's everywhere. There's no place that God is not. And everywhere that he is, he's all that he is. But nonetheless, if he chooses not to reveal himself there, you'll never know. But what a privilege to be in a place where God has said, here am I in your midst today in this place. God loves to be with people. He saw that man was alone. He said, that's not good. And so he created a woman, a helpmeet for him. I'm glad he did that, aren't you? Amen. I appreciate my good wife. She is such a help and a blessing in my life, and she has enriched my life, and I would not be the same person were it not for her. And so I thank God for that. It's a privilege to have a precious mate, and we're working toward 35 years of working together. Amen. And that's a wonderful privilege today. And I give God thanks for that. Amen. And so he made man the helpmeet. And then he said in another place in Matthew, I believe 18, he said, if any two agree as touching any one thing, he said, I'll do it. Amen. I guess he said that because he knows how hard it is for us to agree on anything. Might have a point there, right? Amen. It's not easy for us to agree on anything. And so he said, but if I can get two or three to agree, amen, he said, I'll do something. Hallelujah. Amen. And so God likes to work with human beings. And in this context today, the Bible said that he appointed people, 70 people, and he sent them out two by two. Amen. Didn't send out any Lone Rangers. And no Lone Rangers. Amen. Two by two. Amen. Brother, I need you, and you need me. Amen. We're part of a body today. Amen. The body, God chose to create a body for himself called the church. And the church as a body is just like your physical body in the sense that it's all connected. And every member of it is associated and has a part to do with the rest of the body. Everything that's in the body, every member affects the entire body. Amen. Now, you may not think that you, there's a whole lot of parts of your body that you don't even know you have, perhaps, unless you've studied physiology. You don't know what, like I don't know all the parts of mine, but I know when something goes wrong inside, I'm in trouble. We take it for granted, don't we? Amen. We take it for granted that that heart's going to pump every day. And then all of a sudden it starts coughing and spitting and missing beats, and it gets your attention. You go, whoa, here. Hey, what's going on? Amen. You get plumbing gets stopped up. Brother Williams had 5 bypasses this week and doing very well, thanks to the Lord. But, you know, whenever something goes wrong, it'll promise it'll get your attention. Amen. And so this body's important, and it's God put us together as a body. And the Bible said he appointed them. Amen. God keeps his appointments, and we need to keep ours with him. One day Jesus was walking with his disciples. They walked past this man, and they observed that he was blind. And in typical human fashion, they said, who sinned, this man or his parents? You see, humans always want to find fault. Always want to find who's at fault. Jesus pointed out, he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Now let me say, there's something in the principle here that's very important for us to get a hold of. God doesn't think like we think. The Bible said his thoughts are above our thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. The first thing that comes in my head is, that's kind of unjust, God. That's kind of unfair. That this poor man had to struggle all the way through his infancy and his childhood and growing up as a young man. And here he is an adult and he can't see. And he went through all of this just so that you could show up and heal him. God said, yep. No apology. Yep. Well, you may not like that, but that's the way it is. God's sovereign. What are you going to do about it? Get mad? Have at it. Won't be the first time. Amen. But you need him, you'll get over it. Amen. I know that's a little different than what you're used to hearing, but it's truth anyhow. We need to remember that God is sovereign. And we need to remember that God does, he's not some kind of a slot machine you can drop a prayer into and pull a handle and woo, down comes blessing. Amen. God wants to build a relationship with people. Amen. And he doesn't look at your discomfort the same way you do. He doesn't look at your problems the same way you do. You look at your problems and see how bad they're hurting you. God looks at your problems and see how much they're helping you. And he said, that's bringing you a long way. So you've grown a whole lot since this came upon you. This is doing you a world of good. And you're saying, God, I'm in a world of hurt. You see, it's two different perspectives. He's looking from the eternal. We're looking from the temporal. Amen. Praise God. And remember, he's sovereign, but he's also a loving God. And believe it or not, I remember my dad used to, when he'd give me a whip and said, it's going to hurt me worse than it does you. I never believed that until I had to give a few. Very few. Amen. Because Cherie was just an angel, never had to do any whipping much. Amen. But any time we had to give any of those corrections, it was, wasn't easy, was it? Amen. And so God understands a lot of things we don't understand him, but he understands us perfectly. So this man suffered with blindness in his life, and Jesus shows up and he heals him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the light came on and sight came into his life and into his eyes. And my, what a day of rejoicing, and what a miracle, and what a change came into the world. God was glorified. Man was blessed. Amen. And so it's a process. God had an appointment with him. There was another guy who couldn't get to his appointment. He was lame. But thank God he had 4 friends that took him. They took his bed and they carried him. They got there late. There's a lesson there. And they climbed up on top of the house. We're looking for that day. Amen. When people have to get up on top and tear the ceiling off to get down inside. Amen. And so they got to the house and it was all full. They climbed up on top of the roof and they took the tiles off and they let that gentleman down where Jesus was because he had an appointment and they were trying to get him there. And right in the middle of his teaching, Jesus stopped and he saw this man that was on the bed and he said to him, he said, take up your bed and walk. And the guy got up off of his bed and took his bed and started leaping and rejoicing and praising God. I'm telling you, he had an appointment. Amen. Sometimes you think, well, you know, I just think I'll go to church today, and somebody comes by and picks you up and says, why don't you go to church with me? And you just think it's a good idea, but I'm telling you today, it's more than that. It's an appointment. You didn't know you had an appointment, but you did. God decided and determined somewhere that you needed to be here. And so God made an appointment for you. And in some of your cases, he even sent somebody by to pick you up and bring you here. Amen. Just so that he could meet with you in this house this morning because he wants to do something very special in your life. So God made an appointment to... And God always keeps his appointments. He had an appointment with a man called Lazarus. They called him up, said, Lazarus is sick. And he waited a couple of days. And it was a couple of days to get down there. He got down there and everybody was crying and upset because he was late, they thought. They said, well, Jesus, he's been dead in the grave now for 4 days. You're late. He's never late for an appointment. He was right on time. Amen. He said, well, just take me where you've laid him. And they took him out and he said, roll away the stone. And he spoke into the darkness and the stench of death. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And somewhere in the celestial realm, whatever he was doing talking to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he said, see you later. Gotta go. Amen. And down he came to the terrestrial, and there he stood in his grave clothes, squirming and anxious to get back to life again. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when God has an appointment, he'll keep it. And even death can't keep him from keeping his appointment with somebody. Amen. God always keeps his appointments. Amen. And God has an appointment with somebody in this service this morning. Amen. So it said he appointed them and he anointed them and he sent them. Amen. God approved of them. God accepted them. And that's what anointing indicates. God approves. Sister Cherie sang that song this morning, even me. We don't feel worthy, and we're not worthy, but God makes us worthy. You see, it's not the vessel, it's what's in the vessel. It's what he can put in you is what makes the difference. It's not the vessel itself. And you could, if you take an old plastic jug and it's, you know, it's worth whatever a plastic jug's worth, which is almost nothing. But if you fill it with gold, it takes on some significance, doesn't it? It's not the vessel, it's what's in the vessel. It's not the man, it's what God puts in the person. And that's what increases our value today. Amen. It's not what you were, it's what he'll make you to become. Amen. I share this illustration with you here today that was very meaningful to me. Amen. I got a $20 bill here, and we know what it's really, really worth, but but you know, it's a $20 bill. What is this worth? You know what this is worth? Thank you. She's educated, and so it's a $20 bill. It's worth $20. But what if I wrinkle it up? Now what's it worth? Well, what if I step on it? Well, what if it gets dirty? See, it doesn't change the value, does it? It doesn't matter what happens to the bill, it's still worth $20. Amen. And you see, but Brother Grissom, I did this and I did that and I've been here and I've been there and all the things I've done didn't change your worth in the sight of God. You're worth today what you were worth in the beginning when you were born to him. You're still worth today what you were worth when he went to Calvary to give his life and shed his blood for you. That hasn't changed. In God's economy, your value doesn't change because of what you do. Amen. He still loves us. He still cares about us. And nothing we have done changes that. He still cares. He still loves. Amen. That's the love of God. Amen. And that's why it's an exceeding great and wonderful love. And there's nothing in this world like the love of God. Amen. He selects us. He chooses us. And it's God that initiates, not ourselves. Amen. And so he appointed them and he anointed them. And his anointing is in this place. And the Bible said he sent them two and two. Amen. You know why he did that? There's a principle called synergy. That's not energy to sin. But synergy is a principle that when you put two powers together, they don't just double, they multiply. They've tried this with horses and animals, and that one would work, and he could pull so much. And then they'd put two of them together. Not only could they pull not only twice as much, but multiple times more. It's just a principle. It God put in the universe. We don't really know why that works, but it just does. And the Bible speaks of that principle. It says, one shall put 1,000 to flight, and two shall put 10,000 to flight. That's a principle of synergy. So that's why the devil hates unity in the church. That's why he tries his best to put division and strife between the people. Because if he can do that, he can keep us from accomplishing what we can accomplish when we pull together. Anybody remember that Sunday school song we used to sing? When we all pull together, together, together. When we all pull together, how happy we'll be. Amen. You see, we still need to learn that principle. That's the principle of synergy, and it works. Amen. God sent them out two by two. In the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a wonderful verse that said, two are better than one because they have a good labor for their reward. A reward for their labor. I'll get it right. Amen. And if one fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for there's not another to help him. Amen. Now, have you ever needed another hand? I mean, you got both hands full and you're trying to use your mouth and it just not getting the job done. Amen. Sometimes we need a hand, don't we? I told yesterday about a guy walking across a cemetery at night. It was stormy, it was dark, it was muddy, it was rainy. And he accidentally stepped and he slid into this open grave. And instantly, he was terrified. He started trying to get out, clawing his way, and it was so muddy and slippery, he couldn't get out. And he exhausted himself, and finally, he went over to the end, and he sat down, and a voice come from the other end saying, you can't get out of here. He did. You see, two are better than one. He thought he was in there all by himself. But as soon as he heard that voice, he discovered strength he didn't know he had. Amen. Something just inspired him. Something motivated him. Amen. So two are better than one. Amen. And in the Christian life, friend, two are better than one. Amen. It's good to have brothers and sisters. It's good to be in the body of Christ. The Lord said, I will send you before my face. You go in my grace. You go in my power. You go in my strength. You go in my glory. You go before me. Amen. And then he said, may I send you before my face where he himself would come. Amen. Here's the principle we're getting to here. If he tells you to go somewhere, you can go there with the expectancy that when you get there, everything you need is going to be there. There will be healing there. There will be salvation there. There will be joy and peace and righteousness there. There will be provision there. Everything that you need is going to be waiting when you get there. Amen. Because he's going to meet you at that appointed place. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember a man by the name of Jacob. Jacob, you wouldn't have liked Jacob very much. He was a sneaky, sly fella. He wouldn't have been one of your favorite people to know. He was going to win by a hook or crook. And usually he was a crook. That was Jacob. He was one of those kind of people. For some reason, God loved him. And for some reason, he loves us. And he saw Jacob, and Jacob got into a pickle Jacob couldn't get out of. He couldn't talk his way out. He couldn't lie his way out. He couldn't get out. So finally, he just ran. And he went to a new place. On the way, God talked to him. Thank God he talks to us. The Lord talked to him, but he had his mind on running. And the Lord showed him a vision, a ladder reaching into heaven. Amen. When he got through with it, God made some promises to him. And when he got through with his vision, he woke up and he said, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place. But I knew it not. To me, those are some of the saddest words in the Bible. The presence of the Lord was here, but I knew it not. I didn't even know he was here. And he ran on. And he lived many years of his life. And blessings came into his life. Could I just tell you today, you can be blessed, and it doesn't necessarily mean God approves you. You can follow biblical principles, and those principles are blessed, and your life will be blessed, and you can get ahead financially by doing certain principles that the Bible lays down, but it doesn't mean that God approves of you. Some people think, well, look how great I'm doing. I'm just doing wonderful. God must really think I'm doing good. Not necessarily. But you know what? Jacob was never happy until he went back to Bethel. Amen. It was first called Luz, L-U-Z. I like Bethel. Sounds prettier, doesn't it? Luz. Doesn't have quite the appeal. Luz means the place. But in the back of his mind, all he could think about, there's that place that I need to get back to. There's that place. Every time he'd get himself in trouble, he'd remember the place. He gave it a new name. He said, I'm going to call it Bethel, which means the house of God. To everybody else, it was just the place. But to him, it was the house of God. Wasn't anything special about it. It was rocky, and he'd even had to use a rock for a pillow. But he said, if I can just get back to the place, if I can just get back to Bethel. And when he got back, finally got back to Bethel, man, I'm telling you something, he added a little more to the name. When he got through this time, why, how the Lord met him there. Woo! God met him with deliverance. God met him with blessing. God met him with restoration. God changed his name. God changed his life. God changed his future. God made him a great nation. And he said, this is not only the house of God, but I met the God of the house of God here. I was in his house last time, but this time he really showed up. And now I know him. You see, you can come to church. You can come to the house of God. You can be in the presence of God. But what makes the difference is when you meet the God of the house of God, and you meet the Lord of the church of Jesus Christ, and you begin a personal relationship with him. It makes all of the difference in your life. Amen. That's what made the difference for Jacob. He had an appointment. Took him a while to make it, but he got there. Amen. Somebody's got an appointment here today. Somebody has an appointment here today. Amen. You need to keep it. There's something that I noticed. God told Noah to build an ark, and he built it. And when he got finished with the ark, and the animals were loading up, and everything was ready, when it was time for Noah to enter the ark, the Lord just said to him, come into the ark. Now, the interesting thing is, why didn't God say, go into the ark? If the Lord had said go, that would be a different indication. But when the Lord said come, that means I'm already here. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for you. I'm already here. So you see, the message that the Lord told the church, he said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's how he told us to do that. But when it comes to the church, what is our message? He said, and let the church say, and the Spirit say, come. So my invitation to you today is come, because he's already here. He's already here. You have an appointment today. Would you stand with me? Somebody has an appointment today. You know that there's something missing in your life. It's not a big secret. You know that there's a void that nothing else has ever filled. You know that the Lord has spoken to you in the past. And you know that he's talking to you again this morning. And you know that you need to keep an appointment that he's made with you. I'm inviting you today, just simply adding my voice to the voice that you've already heard that said, come. Come. Amen. There's an altar here. It's open, a place of prayer. An altar is simply a place to meet with God. That's all it means. A place to meet with God. So, somebody today that you need to meet with the Lord, and you need something in your life, would you come and just meet with him here today? God orchestrated a lot of things in your life to get you to this place at this time so you could hear this invitation and have this opportunity. But God is simply saying to somebody today, come. Hallelujah. The Lord's saying to somebody today, come. Quit struggling. Quit fighting. Quit resisting. Just go ahead. Come. You know it's what you need to do. You know it's what you really want to do. Just come. Just simply come. He's already waiting for you.
There's room.